Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Mr. Grant.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, getting all ready for the Christmas season here, holidays, and you want to talk about the thing we think about this time of year, and that is hopefully not just getting gifts, but giving gifts.
Yeah.
The principles of giving this week.
Yeah, that's right. As a matter of fact, the thought process of giving is all around us. It starts so much earlier every year. So since October, we've been seeing commercials and we've been seeing advertisements of how to get ready about this thing called Christmas and giving. And then not only that, but there's also another big push at the end of the year, which is about giving to nonprofits. And
sure.
So there's tax ramifications to think about when we think about giving. And so this time of year is really a big push. And I'm not so sure that anyone who is out in public in any stretch, whether you watch TV, whether you're walking through a mall, whether you're just trying to pick up a gallon of milk, you're going to hear something about giving. Mm. So with that, and specifically since this is going to be airing on Christmas Day and then on Saturday after Christmas, I wanted to really focus in on the principles of giving, because unfortunately, I think that maybe we get into routines, specifically around this time of year, that our motivation is that we have to give a gift to someone during this time of year, or we have to give a gift for tax purposes. But I want to take a look at the story in the Bible for giving and pull some of these principles out so that hopefully we can think about this time of year in the right perspective or a different perspective. And what does it mean then to give instead of just being bombarded by what's happening in society and the commercials
mm-hmm.
out there?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you want to give us then a biblical perspective of giving, too, and you're going to pull out the story that we know from the Christmas story, and that's those wise men and how they gave.
Yeah, I think that this story found in Matthew is really rich with principles of giving. And so I want to go through it. And you're right, most of us relate this story with Christmas time, and we see these figurines, right, and of Jesus in the manger, and there's the wise men always standing around him, and then the little sheep, and all this good stuff, right? So any manger scene almost has these wise men in the story, and it's found in Matthew chapter 2, and maybe most of us know the story already, but it starts out by saying, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, the story gets minorly sidetracked because now we're going to take Herod's perspective that he's not real happy that there's been a king of the Jews.
King? What do you mean, king?
Yeah, that's right. Excuse me. But I am the king of this area. And so I'm not going to have anything to do with another king in my area. And so the Bible says quietly, he told the wise men, quietly go about Bethlehem. So Herod calls in his religious leaders, and they go, oh, yeah, the king of the Jews is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. So he gives that information to the wise men. He says, quietly, which means don't go out and proclaim it. I want you to kind of do this on a secret mission for me. Mm. Well, fortunately, the wise men were a little wise, and they saw through that trick and knew that Herod was not wanting to find Jesus to worship him as they were seeking after him. Rather, he wanted to deal with Jesus. So the story picks up then in verse 9 is that when they left Herod, this star appears again, and it shows over where Jesus is. And when they saw the star in verse 10, the Bible says they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Mm. Boy, that verse really jumps out at me. And so then verse 11 says, and when they came into the house and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshiped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And maybe this is where we get some of the idea around Christmas, as even as Christians, that we look at this story and say, well, the wise men brought gifts to Christ during this time of his birth, or at least the story kind of revolves around that, and we've interpreted it to be around his time of birth. And so maybe we pick up some of our thought process of this idea of generosity at this time of year, in this season, from this scripture, that we see an example before us that says someone came and they worshiped Jesus. They fell at his feet and worshiped him. And what was the result? It was that they fell down and they gave gifts to him. And this makes me think about Melchizedek back in the Old Testament, when Abraham ran across him and he fell down and worshiped him and he gave a tenth of all that he had. Mm. And so there is an intrinsic connection between giving and worship. And this is clearly seen in most of Scripture, actually, that as believers, we don't give as a duty. Now, there's the tithe and there's offerings up and above the tithe. And sometimes I think we can feel an obligation to tithe versus the opportunity of associating worship to the tithe, as Melchizedek did. Or here that the wise men fell before him as a young boy and gave exceedingly and abundantly, I believe. So it says, out of their treasures. So they brought things. Mm-hmm. And so I want to pull a couple of different things out of this story, because this really gives us multiple principles that we can try to get from this section of Scripture.
Well, so what are some of those principles after we've looked at the story in Matthew that we can apply to giving in our own life?
So there's a couple things I want to show through this. Is that, number one, giving takes preparation. This, if I kind of set up maybe the connection of what most theologians would say, that Jesus was not in the manger. I know that blows up the manger scene. I'm so sorry. But when the wise men were there, they didn't go to the manger. They went to his house, and he was a boy at this time.
Yeah, we think maybe the wise men seeing about a couple of – he was maybe a couple of years old.
A couple of years old. And there's multiple reasons why, because then Herod sends out his troops at the end to try to find anyone who was under the age of two. And so there's reasonable connections to say that Jesus was not in the manger, but rather the star appeared. And this tells me that it took these wise men, these three individuals, multiple years to prepare their gift, to prepare their travel. They had to, presumably with a group of individuals, they would have not just moved on a longer journey with just the three of them. They would have potentially even brought their families. They would have brought protection, specifically when they were carrying the gifts and the wealth that they were carrying, because they were carrying their treasures. So this was probably a caravan of people moving through from one country to another country. And the Bible at the very end says that after they gave their gifts, they returned to their country. So we know this was not a close traveling situation. It was far away. Mm. So number one, as we think through how does this apply, or how do I take a principle from this story and apply it to my life, then our giving needs to be with preparation. Mm. It shouldn't be just off the cuff. Here, I'll give God a tip in the offering. Or it's good tax planning, so therefore, I'm going to give a gift at this point in time. Now, none of that is wrong in and of itself. But I'm using a principle that I see in this story to say that giving takes preparation, and it should be thoughtful, intentional, and purposeful. Mm. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 9 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. So that sounds like preparation to me. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a moment of reflection and a time of saying, what do I want to do? It's in 2 Corinthians, Paul goes on to say, you should not give reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, that last part, that cheerful giver, leads us right into a principle number two, which is the story in Matthew says that the wise men, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy when the star of Jesus appeared to specify where he was again. Mm-hmm. So they hadn't even gotten into his presence, but they knew what that star symbolized. They knew that that was their signal to find the one that they had come to worship. And that created such a joy in them that they knew that they were about to see the end of their journey and the end of all this preparation come to its final stage. Mm. And really, that's what faith does. Faith is the intentionality of seeing something that we desire and long for and attach to a promise of God. And when that is getting close, there should be an excitement that swells up within us and turns us into exceedingly great joy. And really, giving should give us that type of a feeling as well. It shouldn't be under compulsion. So if you are emotionless in giving, then you are probably doing it under compulsion. Mm. I know people that are required to come to Christmas gatherings or required to buy presents. And that's just a bunch of labor. As a matter of fact, there's probably not a lot of joy when you're going out and grabbing something off the shelf that you think someone might like and wrapping it up. That's probably the fun part, wrapping it up and then taking it, versus the person who is excited about the opportunity to give. And they think about the person. They think about what they would want. They think about what would bring that person joy. And then the journey of actually going out and finding that and getting it and then wrapping it and making the presentation. Those are two very different worlds. The obligation is just a duty. And there's no joy in that versus the one with intentionality. It creates a joy in the journey and an expectation in the journey, and that's really our second principle. So the first one is that we need to give in a way that is thoughtful and with preparation. And the second principle is that we need to come to the giver with joy and expectation. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a break here,
okay,
I think.
Okay, well, yeah, we need to take a quick break. Listening to the Legacy and Faith Show, you like Paul's approach to giving, whether it's the Christmas season or just giving even as part of your estate planning. I think we're going to discuss that here in a minute. You want to find out more about Paul's services? How do people do that, Paul?
Well, I'd love to have you go over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Kingdom purposes, definitely this time of year, Christmas, New Year's, and the celebration of giving and principles of giving this week with Paul. He's talked about a couple of them so far, and we're looking at the wise men and what that can teach us about giving.
And so the first principle was giving takes preparation. And the second principle is that we have to have a heart with exceeding joy. And the reason I'm going through this is I don't want people to miss the great opportunity that is before them, that when they are moved to give, whether it's because of Christmas, whether it is to an organization, then I want these principles to be swirling around your head so that it can be filled with the right purpose of giving instead of the compulsion or the duty of giving. And we were talking about joyful giving. And I just wanted to ask a quick question to the listeners today, maybe even to myself, to be honest, which is, when was the last time that I gave a gift to my Heavenly Father that filled me with such great joy and with such awe of who He is, the Savior of the world, that it caused me to fall on my face and worship Him? And I'm not so sure I've had that full experience in quite some time, but yet that's what the wise men, that's what we see in their story, is that they were face to face with the revelation that this is the Savior of the world, that they sought after, that they prepared to meet, that they strategically moved from a country to find Him with the wealth that they had to present before Him, and it caused them to fall on their face and worship the Savior. And so the biblical giving is an act of worship, that the one in whose presence we are coming before, the very one who has saved me from death, hell, and the grave, and destruction in my life, is worthy to fall down and worship. So giving is my worship, and it demonstrates the priority of my life before a Savior that I fully trust. So, and then lastly, the third principle is that we see in this story that there was a purpose behind the gift. Now, I'm not so sure that the wise men knew what the purpose was, but God certainly knew what the purpose was. So when we come and we give in worship, the story in Matthew 2 goes on to say that the wise men were divinely warned in a dream that they shouldn't go back to Herod, and so they departed for their own country. And when they departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in another dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, because Herod is seeking to destroy the young child." So as we see now the full story, I want to ask a couple quick questions, which is, what would have it looked like if the wise men never appeared? And now Herod's plan was to destroy Christ, and Joseph has this dream, but now he doesn't have the wealth in his hands to accomplish what was necessary to preserve Christ so that he could fulfill his purpose from heaven. The wealth that was thrown and put at his feet in worship, there was a divine purpose to that gift.
So the wise men funded their trip to Egypt.
That's
partially
right.
Partially anyway. I'd never thought of that.
Yes, yeah, they did. And so what would have it been if they had not come before the Jesus in worship, if they had not seen the sign, if they had not followed the sign, if they had not taken the preparation and had not brought their wealth before Jesus, the story might have had to been rewritten. So when we give, it is an act of faith because we don't know sometimes the purpose. Sometimes we do. Sometimes there is an organization, a church, or other place that you give money, and there is a very strategic purpose. We need to build a building. We need to add on to the building. We have this project that we're doing. The missionaries need this type of money for this purpose. And then other times we don't know the purpose, but yet we've examined our heart and we followed 2 Corinthians 9 that says to give what I have determined in my heart and not out of compulsion. And then there is an act of faith to give to the purpose and release it and not hoard over it. When you give, you have to begin to trust that the purposes of God are going to be established with that gift. Whether you give it to a church, whether you give it to a different organization, whether you give it to a missionary or to an individual, there is an act of faith in giving that must accompany the actual gift so that you can fully release it. Okay. Now, and then lean into him, lean into God so that his plans can be done. So our giving should be well planned. Our giving should be done in joyful expectation of worship and gratitude. And our giving should be done with purpose or to those that align with the purposes of your heart and why you are giving that gift.
Yeah, this is important in estate planning, too, for end-of-life giving, too. You know, you think of, you know, just going to the Christmas party and giving, but you also, as an estate planner, really help people design that plan on how to give at the end of their life and to what kinds of priorities.
Yes. Now, I have clients from every walk of life. And so on this show, I have the luxury of using scripture and pulling principles out, kind of putting on more of my pastor's hat than the estate planning attorney's hat here today, specifically when this is being aired on Christmas and immediately after Christmas. But yes, in estate planning as well, giving is a huge part of what many individuals do. And so walking individuals through questions and a journey about what they want to give and trying to get them to have that thoughtful consideration, even really when we think about estate planning as a whole, it is an ultimate gift to whomever we are putting into our plans, whether it is to children, whether it's to organizations, whether it's to other family members or people. It is all a gift. And so setting up your heart, maybe even with these three principles, which is come to the table with being prepared. What is it that I have determined in my heart that I want to do? And have I actually sought after my Heavenly Father with the goals and with the dreams that I have with this final act of giving that I am about ready to embark on when you sit down and do your estate plan? Have you approached him and asked him, are you open to the thought process and to a word from him that might change your direction about what this final piece of the puzzle with your giving and with your gift and what it should look like? So are you doing the preparation? Are you ready to give? And is it bringing you joy to think about the gift? Oftentimes I have clients who come before me and they're thinking about the dying process, and they stop for a moment. And they go, but I really want to give so I can see part of what I'm giving work now in my life instead of only at my death. And so redirecting and thinking through this, what is bringing you joy in the journey of estate planning? Is the joy going to be setting up the kids when you pass away and some organizations and that all that is good? Or does the gift need to be thoughtful right now? There are ways we can do things now when you are alive to set up better taxing structures and giving, make sure that it's well protected and that it matches the estate plan. What if you are giving to one person, but you have multiple people that you wanted to give when you died? It's okay. We can balance all of that. So understanding what is bringing you joy is a critical piece to this puzzle. And then thinking through the long-term purpose, what do you want that person or that organization to do with what you are giving? And it is in your hands. This last act of stewardship is really yours. And it is okay to think through the long-term process. So we need to be prepared. What is bringing you joy? So an examination of your heart, of what is going to bring you the most joy. Is it at the end when everything passes, or do we need to do it now? And then we need to think through, what is the purpose of what I am leaving, and how is it going to be used? Because this really is, like I just said, our final act of stewardship. So these three principles are used in estate planning, as well as right now during Christmas and year-end tax planning. These are principles are used for whenever you are giving.
Okay, principles of giving, the theme this week, and you want to find out more about Paul's services. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and more found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.